Good morning. When Alexander Pope said to err is human, to forgive divine, he was not engaged in the idle use of words. Forgiveness is an attribute of God. Only those who have been forgiven are in position to understand and appreciate its meaning. Not only is the term forgiveness the tenderest and most beautiful word in our language, it is also very far-reaching in its consequences. This is true because it involves the eternal destiny of the soul. The forgiveness of sins is the very heart of the gospel. The good news is that God forgives sin. God's forgiveness is conditioned on man's repentance. Man's greatest need is the forgiveness of sins. Romans 3 and verse 23 says, "All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Sin is defined in the Scriptures. In 1 John 3 and verse 4 we learn that sin is breaking God's laws. 1 John 5:17 says, "It is unrighteousness." James 4:17 says, "Not doing what we know to do," and Romans 14:23 says, "It is violating the conscience." The result of sin is it separates one from God, Isaiah 59:1 and 2. It enslaves, Romans 16:17, "His servants you are to whom you obey." It brings reproach, Proverbs 14 and verse 34. It brings spiritual death, Romans 6:23. "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." In Romans 1, verse 18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." In 2 Thessalonians 1, 7-10, Paul writes, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day." Truly, man's greatest need is the forgiveness of sin. What is forgiveness, though? The word forgiveness in the Greek New Testament is from a compound term meaning to send away from. The same word in the Greek New Testament translated forgiveness is also translated remission. The two English words remission and forgiveness are used interchangeably and they mean the same thing. Forgiveness is a divine response to human sin, issuing out of the loving and merciful disposition of God. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." In Ephesians 2, verse 4, we read, "But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love, with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ." Another expression used in the Scriptures for forgiveness is found in Acts 3, verse 19. "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." Sins are figuratively written down in God's book of remembrance. God, in forgiving them, is figuratively represented as blotting out that writing. Another expression of forgiveness is found in words of Hebrews 8, verse 12, "For I will be merciful to their iniquities, and their sins will I remember no more." One of the blessings of the new covenant is that God will remember our sins no more. This is an astonishing statement. How can God, who is all-knowing, forget our sins? We certainly find it difficult to forget our sins. Evidently, God forgets our sins in the sense that they will never be brought up again. They are forgotten. Yet another expression of forgiveness of sin is the idea of cleansing. Following David's grievous sin with Bathsheba, he was confronted by the prophet Nathan. David acknowledged his sin and repented. He wrote two psalms expressing his deep regret for his sins, Psalm 32 and 51. In Psalm 51, verse 1 and 2, we read, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin." In the New Testament, the conversion of Saul of Tarsus is recorded in Acts 9, 22, and 26. In Acts 22, and verse 16, "And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." In 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 and 9, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." To summarize, forgiveness means that God puts sin away from him. They are removed, blotted out, remembered no more, and cleansed. The whole process of forgiveness takes place in the mind of God with reference to us. A change within us must precede God's forgiveness. This change is what we call the process of conversion. Forgiveness is possible on the basis of Christ's death. God's justice demands a penalty for sin. Jesus, God's only Son, satisfied the terms of justice. An innocent victim satisfying the demands of divine justice. Romans 5 verse 8 says, God demonstrates His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In Isaiah 53 verse 11, by the knowledge of Himself shall my righteous servant justify many, and he shall bear their iniquities. If I cut my finger off, it does no good for my friend to say, oh, that's too bad. It doesn't put the finger back. When sin occurs, something has to be done. It does no good to say, oh, I'm sorry. A debt has been made. The New Testament reveals that God has paid the debt. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Salvation is the free gift of God, but a gift is not a gift until it is accepted. God's gift of salvation is accepted when one obeys the gospel. Romans 6, verse 17 reads, but thanks be to God that, whereas you were servants of sin, you became obedient from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Then in Hebrews 5, 8 and 9, we read of Jesus, though He was a son, yet learned He obedience by the things He suffered. And having been made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey Him. The conditions of salvation are made known through the gospel. The first gospel sermon is recorded in Acts chapter 2. The apostle Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, arose. He has the keys to the kingdom of heaven. He is now going to execute His high commission to open the gates of the kingdom which Jesus established. He delivers a discourse in which He shows that the same Jesus whom they had crucified, God had raised from the dead. This was by God's predetermined will and foreknowledge. He quotes from the prophets to prove this. He brings forward the testimony of Himself and His companions. They had seen Him with their eyes and handled Him with their hands. He goes further and shows that God had said to him, sit thou on my right hand until I make all thy foes thy footstool. He winds up his argument with the thrilling announcement, let all the house of Israel know surely that God hath made that same Jesus whom you've crucified both Lord and Christ. Jesus is the Lord of heaven and earth, and the Christ who was predicted by the prophets. This was Peter's first sermon, the first one delivered since the ascension of Jesus to heaven, the first one delivered since the blood of the covenant was shed on Calvary, the first discourse ever preached in the kingdom of the Lord and the Savior Jesus Christ in which we live. What was the effect of this sermon? A great number of that mighty multitude were pricked in their hearts, and there came a voice from the crowd and said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Do for what? Do to get rid of this pain in our hearts. Do to get rid of our awful crime. Do to get rid of our sins before God. Do to escape the wrath of judgment. What's the answer? Well, Acts 2:38, Peter said, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ and to the remission of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Then in Acts 2, and verse 41, we read, they then that received His word were baptized, and there were added unto them in that day about 3,000 souls. God has provided a way to have your sins forgiven, blotted out, washed away, and cleansed. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Repent of your sins and be baptized for the remission of your sins, and then walk in the newness of life. If we can help you do that, please let us know. And until next week, may God bless and keep you.